Of those books, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed five in the Holy Quran. Five books, which were the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are listed in the Holy Quran. The first is the Suhuf of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa. So the pages, the collected pages of Musa and Ibrahim alayhi salam. The second is the Torah of Musa alayhi salam. The third is the Zabur of Dawud alayhi salam. The fourth is the Injil of Isa alayhi salam. And the fifth is the Quran of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first are the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa. The second is the Torah of Musa. The third is the Zabur of Dawud. The fourth is the Injil of Isa. And the fifth is the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing be upon all of our prophets. So these are the five wahi that are described within our book, or their existence is ascertained within our book. Within our tradition, we have two types of wahi. There are two types of wahi within our tradition. The first is the Quran, and the second is the Hadith. This is another important point to recognize within our deen. The Quran, I think nobody has a question about. That's obviously the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angel Jibreel. The Hadith is also wahi. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does something, or he says something, or he approves of something, it is through the divine inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he acts. This is verified in the Quran, and this is also verified by our scholars. And according to the majority of our scholars, the Quran is considered, or the Hadith is considered a type of wahy. The difference between the Quran and the Hadith I'll describe for you in a few moments. But this is very, very important that we understand the status of the Hadith within the deen. Both the Quran and the Hadith are wahy, a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in this day and age, some people like to say, oh, that's just Hadith, it's not Quran. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does something, or enacts something, or advises somebody to do something, or approves of something, or is described in a certain way, it is all through the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind when you study Hadith, because often people downgrade the Hadith and think of it as something that doesn't need to be followed, but in essence, it is a description of what pleases Allah and what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, let me continue by, now so we have two types of wahi, the Quran and the Hadith. So it's important that we define the Quran and we define the Hadith so that we understand in further detail what we mean by these two terms. So the Quran is the name of the wahy, is the name of the wahi which was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arabic, and it is preserved in both word and meaning. It is transmitted by tawatur, and it cannot be copied. Now, before I go into the detail of the definition of the Quran, you should know that the word Quran, there's debate among the ulama as to what the term Quran truly means. There's basically three major views. The first view is that some people believe that Quran has no meaning. The word Quran itself has no meaning. And this was held, for example, like the word Zabur and Injil, these words don't have any meaning in the Arabic language. Imam Shafi'i actually held this view, rahmatullah alayh. And in fact, he used to not say Quran, but he would say Quran. Quran. That's how they would drop the Hamza, the people who ascribe to this view. And this is the minority view, but it's still the view of some of the major scholars of the deen. The second view is that Al-Qur'an is actually derived from Qarana, Qaf, Ra, Nun. Qarana means to join. And so Al-Qur'an is the joining. And the reason why it was referred to as the joining is because it joins together a series of verses to produce surah. And those groups of surahs join together to form the book. So because all this joining is occurring, that's why some people felt that the word Al-Qur'an is derived from Qaf, Ra, Noon, which means Qur'an, to join together. And in fact, that was the job of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his lifetime. Various ayat from various parts of the Qur'an were revealed at different times in different places, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined those ayat together to form Al-Qur'an, the actual mushaf in its particular order. The third view, which is actually the majority view, is that the word Al-Qur'an comes from qara'a, to recite. That's the majority view. And so Al-Qur'an is the recitation, because the purpose of these verses was that we recite them to one another, to ourselves, to our communities, and to the non-Muslims in order to bring them into the deen. So that's the third view, that Al-Qur'an actually means the recitation. And actually that's also supported by historical evidence, because that was the essence of the Qur'an during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no printed Qur'an which was distributed among the Sahaba. It was recited between them and taught to one another over the as a means of recitation. Recitation was the means by which it was preserved. So these are three views. The first view, that the word Al-Qur'an, or what they would say Qur'an, has no meaning. The second view, that it comes from Qarana, to join. And the third view is that it's from Qara'a, to recite. That's the linguistic meaning of the word Al-Qur'an. The technical definition of the Qur'an is that it is the Arabic speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed upon the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in its exact word and meaning, has been preserved by tawatur and cannot be copied. So there's five characteristics to the definition. Number one, it's the Arabic speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, a translation of the Qur'an is not the Qur'an. An explication of the Qur'an is not the Qur'an. The rulings of the Sharia that we refer to about the Qur'an, not touching it in a state of wudu, not touching it in a state of major ritual impurity, treating the book with respect, etc., these are rulings which apply to the Arabic Qur'an. Number two is that it has to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is essential for the Qur'an. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three is that it is transmitted in word and meaning. So both the word and the meaning of the words are part of the Qur'an. And it is transmitted by something called tawatur. Basically what tawatur means is that you have so many chains of transmission that there is no way that the information can become false. So for example, here in this campsite, our cell phones don't work. If you try to turn on your cell phone, it won't work. And let's assume that there was no radio and no TV here, which none of us have a radio or TV in this particular gathering. So we have no way of getting any information. Now let's say that somebody drives in from Chattanooga and they say, wow, there was an incredible earthquake in Central Asia. Millions of people have been displaced. So now we might think, well, that might be true, that may not be true. I don't really know if it's true. I mean, one person saying it, he may have misheard the information. It may be some old information. Then somebody drives in from Atlanta and they say, did you hear about that earthquake? I can't believe millions of people have been displaced from their home. And then somebody else drives in from Knoxville and they say, subhanAllah, the whole way here I couldn't do anything but think about how incredibly horrible that earthquake really was. So now all these different chains of transmission are coming to us from different places such that there's no way it could be false. We begin to become 100% certain at a point that there's no way that this information is false. That's called tawatur. So the Qur'an was transmitted in every generation by so many people from so many different chains that there is no way that any ayah within the Holy Qur'an can be considered made up or false. Because if somebody in Turkey would have tried to make up an ayah, all the other chains from around the world would not have supported that information. And if somebody in some other place in the world tried to insert or remove an ayah, all the other chains would not have supported that information. So that's what we mean by tawatur. So all the hadith, all the Qur'an comes to us through tawatur. And the final thing is that it cannot be copied. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in his book in several places where he challenges people to create a word similar to the Qur'an, but people cannot do so. So that's what we mean by the Qur'an. The hadith is defined literally, the word hadith means news or story or narration. And technically it refers to the deeds, sayings, or approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some scholars, there's a debate among the scholars, but some scholars also include the observations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam under the word hadith. The descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam under the category of hadith. Now hadith is one thing. It's one idea which you should keep in your mind. There's a second idea which is sunnah. And often people confuse the two terms. What's hadith and what's sunnah? So according to some ulama, there's no difference between hadith and sunnah. And there's some debate among the ulama as to, you'll find varying views, but my favorite distinction, and the view that I like, and I think it helps to teach and illustrate a point, is that hadith is any saying, any deed, any approval, and any description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a hadith. But the sunnah are the habits and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, let me give you a differentiating example. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to drink water while sitting. So that's the sunnah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that none of us should drink except while we are sitting. No one should drink while they're standing. These are clear sahih hadith. But on rare occasion, you'll see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did drink while standing. You'll find hadith that explicate that, that show that. So those are hadith, but those don't form the sunnah. Do you understand the difference? So you might find a rare hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does something that wasn't his normal habit due to some extraneous circumstance. That doesn't establish the sunnah, that's a hadith. So there's a difference between the sunnah and the hadith. This is just one view, there's several other views, but this is the view that I think helps to explain a couple other points as well. So the difference between hadith and sunnah is that in hadith you find various narrations, but the sunnah is the regular practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we attempt to follow the sunnah. We're not going to pick on the one hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank while he was standing and say, okay, now that's the sunnah. Because we know clearly it's not the sunnah, because the majority of ahadith, as well as the stated ahadith, establish that we shouldn't drink while we're standing. Now, so what's the difference between the Qur'an and the hadith, if both are wahi? So obviously the similarity is that both are wahi. But the difference is that the hadith is the words of a human being. And the Qur'an is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make a statement, or inspires the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do something, and then that subsequently is enunciated from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he chooses to enunciate it. That's what hadith is. Whereas the Qur'an is the exact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which basically comes through the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's one difference. The second difference is that all of the Qur'an is transmitted by tawatur. But the hadith is not all transmitted by tawatur. In fact, there are very few ahadith that are transmitted by so many chains of narration that they are 100% certain in that way, in the way of tawatur. And so the third major difference is that the Qur'an is matlu, it's recited. It's the wahi which we recite in the salah, but the hadith is not recited. We do not recite, obviously, hadith in salah. So that's the third major difference between the Qur'an and hadith. Now, as far as hadith Qudsi refers to those ahadith which describe or state something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those ahadith which relate to what Allah says or does are called hadith Qudsi. They're a special category of ahadith. Sometimes they're the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes they're not. So that's one difference between the Qur'an and hadith Qudsi. The second is that the hadith Qudsi is not transmitted by tawatur, but the Qur'an is transmitted by tawatur. And the third difference is that the wording of the Hadith Qudsi is not unique. It can be copied. Somebody can make up a false Hadith Qudsi and it would sound like a Hadith Qudsi. But nobody can make up an ayah and attain the beauty and the balagha that exists within an ayah. So one of the definitions of the ayah, of the Quran, was that it cannot be copied, was that no one can imitate it. And this is a challenge that Allah places against humanity to try to even bring one verse like the Holy Quran, but no one has ever been able to do so up until now, and they will never be able to do so until the end of time. Whereas in a Hadith Qudsi, although it might be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not, that challenge does not apply to the Hadith Qudsi, that challenge applies to the Holy Quran. So there are some subtle differences between Hadith Qudsi and Quran. But the essence, what I want you to take home from this particular gathering, is that we have two types of wahi within our deen. The first wahi is the Qur'an, and that's the essential wahi, and that forms the ultimate source within the deen for us. And the second type of wahi is the hadith. And the hadith forms the second source of the deen for us. So the first two sources of our deen are based on wahi, and then we go beyond that to Qiyas and to the ruling, to the ijma, etc., which we're not going to discuss in this particular gathering.